So we bring an offering to him. Yeah. So peace on earth. Boys and girls, they look pretty happy, don't they? They're having peace on the earth. And yeah, that's the message of Christmas. But we have to ask ourselves, is there really peace on earth today? I don't know if you heard about the war on Christmas, but this guy, Kim Jong-un, has declared war on Christmas. Last year, he made Christmas totally illegal in North Korea and changed it to the celebration of his grandma. What was her name? Kim Jong-suk. She was born on Christmas Eve in 1919, and so now it's an official holiday in North Korea, his grandmother's celebration. But this year, he outlawed any drinking of alcoholic beverages or singing during this Christmas period. So what we've done already, I didn't see anybody consuming alcoholic beverages here, thank you, but we've been singing, and that would be illegal in North Korea today as we're talking and worshiping perfect freedom, but not in North Korea. But I think the majority of the world are not worried too much about his war on Christmas. They're worried about these two fellows. You know, there's been a lot of rhetoric going on. And I was talking to my son, David. He's 28 years old in California, and this was his, you know, one of his Christmas fears. They're going to have war, you know. I saw a headline today, a Marine general is saying big war is coming to his troops. Get ready for it. What in the world? Anyway, some of the bigger wars that are going on, actual wars on this planet as you are here, is in Afghanistan. The Mexican drug war, we tend to forget about that, but a lot of people are being killed annually in this war on drugs, and particularly the cartels fighting others who don't cooperate with them, whether they're opposition cartels or if they're law enforcement, government people trying to stop the drug. And look how all these arrows flying around from here. It shows where the different supplies are coming into Mexico and the cartels. There's five major ones there. And it's big business. The U.S. spends alone $100 billion on illegal drugs. And the government is putting $50 billion to try to fight it. So $150 billion is going on in this war, not to mention how many people are killed. If you ever wanted to just Google the Mexican drug war, children, don't do this. All right, don't do it, because it's gruesome. It's very gruesome, the photos you'll get. Now you're going to do it because I said it, I'm sorry. But anyway, Syria. We've tried to support the Syrian refugees, and a Syrian war, the civil war there is very, very severe. Iraq, of course, it's kind of connected with the fight against ISIS and other insurgencies. These are the four major wars, and so we've got these four big wars, 74,000 deaths so far this year. And in other places on the earth where there's 14 armed conflicts, there have been 27,000 deaths. So a total of 101,000 people have been killed in war on the planet that you and I live this year. Now, any Americans out there? I'm from the U.S. I'm a U.S. guy. Any other Americans out there? There's a few of us, right? And so we hear about gun violence in the United States, and this is an interesting statistic. From the year 2005 to 2015, 10 years, 71 Americans were killed in terrorist attacks on U.S. soil. But 301,797 were killed by gun violence during the same period in the U.S. And so I think we're right around 30,000 plus this year of being killed by gun violence. And often those people being killed are family members killing each other, killing policemen who knock at the door, and then we have other different killings. But a lot of killings, violence. No peace there, war and violence. It doesn't bring any peace for anyone. World poverty, another cause for no peace on this planet. 3 billion people are living on less than 20 Hong Kong dollars a day. Right there, $20. Pete gave this back to me. He owed me $20 this morning. But I just had it here. $20 a day. That's all these kids have. 3 billion. You ever think you get hungry? Sure. not no peace. So as a result of war and poverty, we got 65.5 million displaced people. Now, this particular map was written, created in 2015, and it lists 15.1 million people from these various continents, and it gives the figures there. But the most recent I came up with from the UN statement was 65.5 million displaced people. You can't be in your home anymore. It's not economically possible, or it's because of war. So 2017, there's an absence of peace on the planet for different reasons. War and violence, one. World poverty, two. Three, I'd say, is pollution. How can you really be at peace when you know that the food you're eating is contaminated? The air you're trying to breathe is contaminated. Corruption, now that takes many forms. It can take the illegal form where we have people dealing with human trafficking, illegal drugs, the sale of all kinds of contraband and shenanigans that go on, long sharks, etc. But then you have corruption also within international businesses, within banking systems, with all kinds of schemes that aren't out there for your good, but out for something else, for evil. And then, of course, we have disease, and I appreciated Pete's prayer. For these different reasons, we have a lack of peace. And I just started thinking about my family, my immediate family, and then my extended family. And you begin to think through someone has been victim of violence, or someone are dealing with economic hardship, or living in a place where it's really polluted, or have been a victim of corruption, being oppressed, or most likely you would know someone who has illness, and it's not going to be a very happy Merry Christmas for many. But I want us to think about this Prince of Peace. I don't want to just be too heady either. I want you to go away saying, yeah, you know, James talked about it, but you know, I'm trying to understand you, Prince of Peace, who you are. I want you to touch my life this Christmas with some of your peace. So who is this Prince of Peace? Well, it's only mentioned in one place in the whole of Scripture, and that's in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Jeremy May read that for us. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Handel didn't write that. Isaiah wrote this. 700 years before Jesus is born. 700 years before he's born. At a time when Israel is not at peace. Trying to give hope, interject hope to a people who are under oppression, who are being taken to captivity by Babylon, and also being fought by Assyria. But the Prince of Peace, there's his name, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's what we're going to see in today, Prince of Peace. We've already seen, as we've considered Jesus being the light, the way, and the joy of the world, we've seen his name shall be called Jesus because he'll save people from their sins. His name will be Emmanuel because he is what? God with us. He's the Son of the Most High. He is the Son of God. These things we've seen already in the Advent Sundays before today. But today we're just going to zero in on this Prince of Peace. Is he truly the world's Prince of Peace? Is he truly your and my Prince of Peace? It goes on to say in verse 7, of the increase of his government. Government. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. What in the world is God doing? This is what he's doing. He's increasing the kingdom of God and God's rule on among human beings. And there's not going to be an end to this. And it's related to this throne of David, which was just characterized by justice and righteousness, in which you and I and most people on earth want to see government give us justice and righteousness forevermore. Isaiah made his prophecy 700 years before the Christ child is born. And there's other scriptures in Isaiah that is so beautiful and so poignant to the fact that the Christ will be born of a virgin, and this is who he'll be, the Prince of Peace. But it was the angel Gabriel who came to Mary in Nazareth and said, you're going to be become a mom. And you're going to get this little baby from the Holy Spirit. He's going to put you in, and that little baby is going to be who? The same person who Isaiah talked about. You may remember this verse from last week. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. There's this David again. Anybody out there named David? Where are you, Mr. McLeod? Okay, there you are. Okay. So, and David Burton. Right. David Buckner. David Leung. David. Why do we like David? I don't know. But it's a good name. King David ruled at a particular time, and he was a man after God's own heart, we're told. Yeah, he had his faults, and he made his mistakes, but he repented, and he threw himself and trusted God in all kinds of different ways. But God made a covenant with David and said that someone from your prodigy, when your next guys in your generation, they're going to sit on the throne. One person will come and sit on the throne forever and ever, and that person is the Messiah. And that person was predicted 700 years, and that person was talked about right now where the angel Gabriel is talking to Mary, and he says, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. He's not going to be elected for 4 years. No. He, the baby within you, is the king of the world. And then remember when the myriad of angels appeared to the three shepherds, what happened? Talked about the kingdom of peace. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And the NIV says, on whom his favor rests. If you grew up with the King James Version, it says, and goodwill and peace on earth. Goodwill to men and peace on earth, that kind of thing. But this is if you look at the manuscripts carefully, the reading, peace among those with whom he is pleased, on whom his favor rests, is the way to look at it. This kingdom of peace. You may recall last week I kind of gave us a formula about this song of great peace. I called it the song of great joy last week. But it's glory to God in the highest and peace to men on earth. And you can see some of the parallels there. I kind of think like a scientist sometimes, not often, but sometimes. But here we go. So you can see the parts, right? Engineers out there, you with me? It's pretty good, right? So I just like to say this is a biblical precept about peace. As God receives the greatest glory in heaven, when man receives the greatest peace on earth. Are we okay on that? All right, so I'm just not my idea. This is what God wants you and I to know. This is what the Prince of Peace wants James to know, what the Prince of Peace wants you to know and to experience. He wants you to have peace with self. Yes, I know who I am. And you can only know who you are if you know who he is. And the more you know who he is, you understand your existence and your reason for being. Not just to be tranquil and calm, but to know my purpose. To have peace with others. In your house. In the office. Peace at the Christmas parties. Peace at the family gatherings. Peace with other people. peace with the world. But most of all, we're going to try to look at what does it mean to be at peace with God. This is what this Prince of Peace wants you and I to have, is peace with God. So the biblical concept of peace is so manifest, but I'm looking at today just basically how you and I can have peace with God through the Prince of Peace. And I call it peace realized in Romans 5, 1 through 2. Boys and girls, now's the time to wake up if you went to sleep. So I want you to, when we get to the white letters, can you read that? And you know, Pastor James doesn't like this little mumbling bit, right? We got to shout it out. Alice, you're excited. Calm down, okay? All right. Here we go. All right. We'll try it and see how it goes. We have to repeat a couple times. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, Roberto gets an A. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I got to make a confession. I watch TV sometimes. I get hooked on these Netflix series. Does anybody watch The Fist? Anybody watch The Fist? Is it called The Golden Fist or The Fist or something? I forget what it's called. Huh?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's this kung fu guy, all right? And he always tries to get with his chi, you know, gets that chi, gets good contact with the chi, and then he can go out and he can win and conquer the world. Well, I want you to get in contact with Jesus. It comes from without. It comes from His Holy Spirit, the peace that He gives. It's not from you. It's not from anything you could ever do. You could never be a good enough person. You could never, ever, ever love people with a pure motive and selflessness. You could never love God Himself, the Almighty, like Jesus. And it's through Him, we have this peace. It comes through Him. And what's it say? Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Okay, let's wake up. Everybody stand a minute. Stand a minute. Okay. All right. What are we standing in our shoes? Did anybody take their shoes off? Okay, we got our shoes on and we're standing on the ground, right? So what we're trying to say in here in a very picturesque way in the scriptures that you're standing in grace. Now you can sit down. You can sit down. Okay, we could write grace on the ground and then just stand on it, right? That's grace we're standing in. And grace basically is I don't get what I deserve, and I get what I don't deserve. I'm getting eternal life. I don't deserve it. I'm getting a relationship with God. I don't deserve it. And what I do deserve is because I've ignored God and I don't care a thing about what He says. I never give Him any thanks. I just forget it, God, you know. That I deserve punishment, but I don't get it. Because why? Because through Jesus, I'm now standing in this grace. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But we're standing. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Glory of God. Does anybody want to explain that to me? Anybody under 12 want to explain to me what the glory of God is? Nathan, don't look at me. Okay, Dad. I won't look at you. Does anybody under 12 want to try it? Well, you think of glory. Remember the angels when they appear in glory and it kind of scares you? Not like the aliens that we had in our play, but the glory of God from a real angel shakes you up. You were Gabriel last week, weren't you, Roberto? Thank you for filling in. But you see the glory of God, it's brilliant. It's bright and it's a white light and you wonder what is so, because it's perfectly pure and it's such a good thing to experience. Now look at your heart. I look at my heart. Now, I've been trying this thing of following Jesus since really with my nose to the ground. I can say not my nose. I really, with my sincerity and fullness of spirit, I've tried to follow Christ since 1975. Now, I came to faith earlier in 1960, but there's that period of being a prodigal son. But I can tell you, from all that journey to where I am right now, I know the evil that lurks in my heart and the sinfulness that I can think. I'm not controlled by that. No, I got this new life. I got this new man in me, but I've got this old man that's still there. I understand it. But there's a day coming when all of that junk, all of it, is going to be completely out of me. And I am going to be a brilliant, bright light. And you know what? So are you. So when I see a person, I say, why do they act like that? I mean, they're supposed to know the Lord. Why do they say that kind of thing? Were they so inconsiderate? I said, well, James, how about you? Have you always been considerate? No. We're standing in grace, and we've got this peace with God. He's no longer our enemy. We're at peace with Him. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We're all going to be completely pure and caring for one another. There's not going to be selfishness. We're all going to be obedient to God the Father. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And you look around us, you know, beautiful people, but we are the glory of God. Remember that little phrase? God receives the greatest glory when His people on earth receive the greatest peace. All right, one more verse. Peace realized, Colossians 1:19-20. Now, guys, young people, let's give it a big shout when we get to the white. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Him to reconcile to Himself, that makes friends with Himself, reconcile, to no longer be at odds, be enemies. To reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, boys and girls. Good. So this peace with God doesn't come cheaply. How much monies are being spent in Afghanistan? That's a big one. It's American politics. We'd like to get our a handle on. But to make peace with God, to end the rebellion of man against God, took something which the earth cannot afford. Our Lord Jesus Christ, His blood shed on the tree. Great cause to get this peace. James, I still don't quite understand. What's this thing about rebellion? Well, it's basically saying, I'll have my own way, all right? Forget it. I'm my own person. I'm here, and I don't need a God. Okay. I'll go with that. What are you going to do when your breath stops? Well, I'm my own person. I just get contact with my chi, and I'll come back to life. And no. It might happen in the movies. That's not the way it works in real life. You need a Savior. And His name shall be called Jesus, because He'll save people from their sins. And the greatest sin that you and I have is this rebellion. We don't want to live under God's rule. We don't want to have a king in our heart. And this guy just died last week. Does anybody know R.C. Sproul? Bonnie and I, and to. Anyway, I won't get into R.C., but he was a dear brother in Christ, a theologian, outspoken person on different things for Christ. But he says, God doesn't need our consent in order to govern us. He made us. And this is what hit me many years ago at the banks of Davidson River in Pisgah National Forest reading scriptures, and God just slapped me in the face and said, I'm real. And he wanted to say to me, hey, look, I made you. And what's wrong with you as a creature submitting to me, the Creator? There's nothing wrong with that. That's where peace of God comes. Quit being in rebellion. Quit trying to do it your own self and just submit to me. It's not going to be life. Life is miserable. You've got to be a Christian, keep all these rules. No. Life is fulfilling because now you understand the Creator God and what He has for you. Okay. That's a pretty good drawing, huh? So we got to ask ourselves, am I at war with God or am I at peace with God? If there's such a thing as a Creator God who's made me and He wants to relate to me, don't you think He would let you know that? And that's what we're trying to say. 700 years ago, He let us know that. This angel came to Mary and let her know that, and she believed that, and you and I are here in DB today, and we got to ask ourselves, does God really want me to relate to Him? Or am I going to keep fighting it? No, I don't want you. No. Nope. I'm going to do it my way. So I got to ask myself, you got to ask yourself, am I at war with God or am I at peace with God? Francis Schaeffer, another man which I really respected, he's gone to be with the Lord as well many years ago. But he said, the beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is. In other words, you and I as Christians can even fall into this rebelliousness, is the lack of a thankful heart. The lack of a thankful heart. Complaining about everything, but never giving Him thanks for anything. Whether it's the physical or the spiritual realities, whatever. So, I ask myself, do I have a thankful heart? Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Is anybody going to any concerts this Christmas? Anybody been to concerts? Bonnie went to one at St. John's. She goes every year with some of her friends. Any rock concerts out there? Come on, guys. Hey, you been to any concerts in Hong Kong? They're okay? They're all right? All right. So what I'm getting back, this is the concert for the shepherds, remember? We don't know how many shepherds, a group of shepherds out there in Bethlehem and the vicinity where Jesus was born, and all this myriads of angels appear, and I mean, beautiful, beautiful. And they're singing this, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased or upon whom His favor rests. So our question is pretty simple. Does God's favor rest on me? Hey, look, James, I don't believe there's a God, you know. It's I can't trust this book you're talking about. What do you believe in? The Prince of Peace wants you and I to know that the favor of God can come upon you. And you can answer the second question, which is related. Is God pleased with you? He's very pleased with you. All you have to do is have faith and believe that Christ, the child we celebrate at Christmas, went to the cross. He became sin so that you become right with God. You could become a friend of God. He was killed, dead, and buried, rose from the dead, ascended on high, and gave his Holy Spirit to us today, his church. And that's why we keep saying this message over and 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 over, generation to generation, generation to generation. It's death and life. It's the end of war. It's peace for you. It's peace for me. Mary had one response. She was highly favored of the Lord. Highly favored. Could you imagine holding a baby who's the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, Emmanuel? He's right here. I look at some of you kids, and it wasn't long ago that you were one of these little baby things. The little Lou boys were babies, weren't they? No? Okay. Anyway, the exception. But anyway, I am the Lord's servant was the response from Mary. Now, Mary had the special deal. She and Joseph of Bethlehem. Joseph was also the lineage of David. They had a special job. Their job was to raise the boy Jesus. The God who became flesh, who incarnated, who went to the cross, the Savior of the world. They had that job. But boys and girls, moms and dads, you and I have different jobs to do. But one of the jobs we have is to be ambassadors for Christ and to plead with our friends and our loved ones. Be reconciled to God. Be friends with God through faith in Jesus. That's all of us have that kind of a job. But some of us have different types of jobs to do. And I hope that we won't be distracted from some of the big problems that are still on this planet Earth, whether it becomes fighting disease, whether it becomes helping educate people. In different ways, dealing with corruption and pollution and trying to be peacemakers politically in the world. There's so many great things for us to do before Christ returns. He wants us to be used of Him in His kingdom now. But the problem is, you and I got to deal with, am I the Lord's servant or am I James's servant? I just do what I want to do. You know, I came to Hong Kong about 34 years ago. I wanted to serve urban poor. And when I had the chance to come here about 8 years ago, and I had to say, this is not urban poor, God. You got things mixed up here? James, I want you here. Now, I don't want to leave, tell you the truth. But the time has come for me to go back to the U.S. And my job will change. I have no idea exactly what that's going to be, but I want to love my family. I know that's a call. Minister to my family in the United States. But I have peace. I don't have all the answers. How about you? Have you met this Prince of Peace? Don't put it off. Just open your heart and say, I believe you, Jesus. I believe you're real. You're not just some fairy tale. You're not a lie. And these guys that are sitting here today, they're not lunatics. They're not crazy people. Neither were you. God desperately wants me to rest and be in His hands and let Him lead me. And say what? I'm the Lord's servant. Future peace that is promised. It's coming. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, a loud voice. Hey, well, okay, we don't have to overdo it. Okay. I want a loud voice, right? Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He's not here right now, guys. He's here by his Spirit and his people, but he's not here on the earth. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. God is coming. This is the peace in the future. He is coming back to the planet, but you know what? He's not going to keep this planet. He's going to make a new earth and a new heaven. Try that one on for size. That's how great he is. He's going to come and create a new heaven and a new earth, and then there will be peace. Because why? He's here. There can be nothing but peace where God exists. Future peace and revelation, it goes on. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. There will be no more crying in Mindanao. There will be no more crying in Iraq and in Syria and in Mexico when moms see their children who were beheaded for whatever reason and killed. It's just awful stuff. It will never be here again. It will never be here. There will be nobody dying of cancer or diseases. There will be nothing. It will all be gone. There neither shall be no more mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So what are you betting your future on after this life? And boys and girls, moms and dads, we would say to each other, you know, we want you to know this Prince of Peace. Experience it now, yep, and experience it in the future. We'll end with this one. This is a prayer. Now, right now, what time are we at? 11:15. We're going to get out early. 11:15. Discovery College Theater. Now may the God of peace, this Prince of Peace himself, sanctify you, make you holy, make you completely good for him. I mean, you and God are going to be, you know, like this. Together, you and God. Now may this God of peace himself sanctify you, James, sanctify you, DBICC people and friends, completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he who calls you is faithful. And he will surely do it. Is he calling you? Do you know for sure in your heart he has called you? His touch has been on you. Let's pray. Father, I believe there's many in this room who would say, yes, I am the Lord's servant. I'm here to serve him, whether it's in the aviation industry, whether it's in finance, whether it's in teaching or various other vocations for your honor and for your glory. We thank you and we hallow your name and we think that you have called us. You've touched us. In Christ, you died for us so that we might become God's children. And I don't know where these boys and girls who are sitting here among us will grow up to be. But I do pray for them. I pray for the teenagers. I pray for the young people back from uni who are sitting here. Others, Lord, that they would understand that this is not a religious choice. There's only one reality. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is, he alone, the Prince of Peace. Father, you know those of us who are struggling with all kinds of issues, and I pray that you would encourage us to talk to you and to cling to you, no matter how tough the challenge is. Be our peace this Christmas. And as this prayer from Thessalonians say, God of peace, sanctify us, keep us, and make us completely yours. This is my Christmas prayer for myself, my family, and for the DBICC family. And I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.